Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to LRM Ranks It, where your favorite contributors from LRMonline.com rank their favorite movies, TV shows, video games, everything you can think of from pop culture and geek culture. I'm Kyle Malone, and today I'll be talking about my top three favorite Final Fantasy games. So Final Fantasy is a game series that spans over three decades, starting off with the original Final Fantasy created by Hironobu Sakaguchi in 1987 and going all the way through, I think it was this year's Final Fantasy Dissidia NT, which is a fighting game. The series spans multiple genres, mostly RPG, specifically Japanese RPG style, some American RPG styles thrown in there, sequels, action-adventure RPGs, fighting games, everything you can imagine. And the characters and the series is so popular that it's actually crossed over in other franchises such as Kingdom Hearts. Some of you might notice that Keyblade back behind me. I'm a huge Kingdom Hearts fan as well. I'm such a huge Final Fantasy fan that I actually have it permanently etched upon my skin. I have four Final Fantasy tattoos, including a armored chocobo with a black mage Moogle riding it, this Toneberry, which I absolutely love. It's actually comprised of or composed of multiple pictures to come up with this one Toneberry. My bombs, which were a blast, and the Cactar. The funny thing is, I don't know how funny it is, I actually got the bombs and the Cactar done on the same day. I never would recommend getting tattoos on both your legs in the same day. It was horrifying to wake up and try to walk the next day, but I love my tattoos, and shout out to my artist, Danny Lee, for all the great work he's done. The very next day, I actually went and got my Star Wars tattoo. Man, camera, mirror image, but my Star Wars tattoo, and so I ended up with three tattoos in less than 48 hours. It's a lot of sitting in the chair, a lot of it was a blast. I don't recommend doing three tattoos in less than 48 hours. And I'm one of those people that I sit down and do all those tattoos you saw are all done in single settings. I don't do multiple takes. There's only one tattoo I've got that I did that I needed to sit down in the chair two different times. And that's an FLCL tattoo that I've got over here on my left arm. So getting back to Final Fantasy, It's been a huge part of my life. I started off playing the Final Fantasy, I can't remember if it's Legend or Adventure. It's on the Game Boy, and my mother had actually gotten it from my dad before he deployed with the Army. He was in the Army before he deployed to Desert Storm, and she got him a Game Boy and the Final Fantasy game that came on it. It was green. I want to say it's Final Fantasy Legend, but I might be wrong. It might be Adventure. But anyways, so she got him that game. When he came back, I got to play with it a little bit. Wasn't that good at it. Wasn't until later on in elementary school that I met a friend who had a regular Nintendo and a Super Nintendo, and he had both Final Fantasy the original and Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. And Mystic Quest is one of those offshoots, just like the Game Boy game I was talking about actually would go on to become the Secret of Mana series, but Mystic Quest was kind of like the first game that I fully played through and understood and was actually fairly decent at. There would kind of be a lull throughout the rest of elementary school and getting into middle school to when I got a PlayStation and I got my hands on the first PlayStation, first non-Nintendo Final Fantasy game, Final Fantasy VII. Like a lot of people my age, that's the game that got me hooked beyond a shadow of a doubt. I had kind of played with some of the other ones, really didn't get into them too much. I was really a big fan of Mystic Quest. I guess it is like a nostalgia thing because it was my first, but Final Fantasy VII was my kind of first foray back into the JRPG genre of games, and it was a blast. I absolutely loved it. I think my first outing on it, I clocked over 150 hours. I was obsessed with completing it 100%, getting gold chocobo, Knights of the Round, making sure every character got up to level 99, that I mastered every materia. I just, went all the way through it. And I've been a loyal fan of the series ever since. I played through 7, 8, 9, 10. I could not stand 10-2. I did not play the online games. I'm not a big MMO RPG type person, so I kind of skipped 11 and 14. I tried to play 13. It's not a game that I really care to try to ever play again. I spent about 8, 9 hours playing it, and never picked it up again. 12, I absolutely loved. Absolutely love 12. I'm actually playing through Zodiac Age as we speak, or the day that I'm recording this, I was playing it. And 15. 15 was an absolute blast. Like I said, this game series has been across many genres. Some of the fighting games, I've played several of the Dissidia fighting games. They're all right. But today I'm going to focus on the main games. I'm going to focus on the numbered games, basically. That does not mean that I did not appreciate Tactics for what it is, or even Tactics Advanced. Tactics is a great game. Absolutely love it. I've purchased Tactics originally on the PlayStation, of course. I had it on the PlayStation Portable, the War of the Lions, or War of Lions, I think it's called. I've had Final Fantasy Tactics 1 and 2, or Final Fantasy Tactics Advance 1 and 2 on the Nintendo systems, and they're a blast. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that Tactics is not an all-time great Final Fantasy game, but I'm going to be focusing on the numbered games today. A lot of these games are amazing, and that picking a top three is difficult, and the way that I approached it wasn't necessarily replay value, but kind of what it meant the first time going through it for me. The emotions, the feelings, both on story and characters, as well as gameplay, and that's how I approach this list, is kind of like my first take on that game. There's going to be a lot of you that are upset at this list, and by all means, please leave comments below about what you think your top three games are and why. Tell me if you agree with my list, if you disagree with it, and let's have a conversation about it. But I just want you guys to know where I'm coming from on my list. And like I said, it's about what the games meant to me when I first played through them. So coming in to number three is going to be Final Fantasy 12. Yes, the 12th outing, the first one on the PlayStation. No, it's the second one on the PlayStation 2. Sorry about that. I forgot about Final Fantasy 10. It's kind of forgettable if you ask me. But yeah, Final Fantasy 12 takes us back to the world of Ivalice, or Ivalice, however you want to pronounce it. I think it's pronounced Ivalice. And at least that's how they pronounce it on the game. And it's the same world that Final Fantasy Tactics takes place in. So you've kind of got a mix of some technology with the airships, but it's also a fantasy setting, like traditional Final Fantasy games. The brand new battle system kind of mixes action RPG, where the characters can actually move around the battlefield at the same time that there's an active time battle bar, a timer bar going on to allow you to have some breathing room when you're selecting your attacks, your magics, and things like that. So it kind of mixes the ATB with an action adventure RPG battle system, and I thought it was a blast. First off, because it took place in the same world as Tactics, I had a lot of fun with that. The job system was pretty cool. The Zodiac Age HD, not remake, but HD re-release, if you will, that came out on the PS4, kind of limited the jobs and made it a little bit more like Final Fantasy Tactics, when in the original version of the game here in the United States of America, you could basically create super characters because you could cover that whole license board with each and every character. But the job system was still there. Zodiac Age allows you to use a little bit more strategy about who's going to have what job. And it's such a cool, unique game, blending some of the old and some of the new with something different in Tactics. The storyline is fine. It's not the greatest story. It's a little, I don't know how you would say, overdone. And the main character for U.S. audiences' purpose, apparently, Vaughn, is not that great of a main character. And when you really get down to it, he's not the main character. As you're going through the story, there's so many more other characters, including Bosch and Ash, that take precedence over Vaughn. He's just kind of like the background character, but he's the character that's on screen whenever you're in a city or something like that, and the rest of the characters are off screen. It's a wide world. It's not quite open, but it's not quite linear either. It was a unique take. There's no world map like you had in Final Fantasy 7, 8, or 9, but it's definitely, to me, it feels a little bit more open than Final Fantasy 13 did. The graphics were gorgeous when they first came out, and I had a blast playing it. My wife, it was actually the very first Final Fantasy game she ever played, and she actually beat it before I did. I think I got distracted with, I can't remember what other game I got distracted with, but I think it was after the PlayStation 3 came out, because I got a PlayStation 3 not too long after I got the Final Fantasy 12, and it kind of took a back burner for me. But anyways, getting sidetracked. It was a fun game. I absolutely loved it. It was a blast. And it reaches number three on my list because it was a unique experience, kind of blending old and new, like I said. And because I really felt like it was a breath of fresh air into a series that had kind of stumbled with Final Fantasy X. Some of my issues with X included what I felt was a horrible story and a really, really bad leveling system. I couldn't stand the sphere grid at all. And the license board for 12 felt like a much, much better version of what they were trying to do with X. And then you get some traditional stats going up with regular leveling up through Final Fantasy XII as well. The HD remake or the HD re-release with Zodiac Age here in the United States, or abroad, I think it was known as the international version. Here in the United States, we got this HD re-release. It's great. I've been having a lot of fun with it. I've been trying to do this one 100%, unlike the first time that I played through it, where I just kind of went through and got what I needed to beat the game. Coming in at number two is, believe it or not, Final Fantasy 15. Yes, last year's big release. Was it last year? No, correction. 2 years ago, 2016. Man, has it really been that long? Anyways, Final Fantasy 15. What a game. Again, you're talking about a storyline that, man, leave it to Final Fantasy game developers to make something more complicated than it needed to be. Final Fantasy 15 requires you to see an anime web series, requires you to see a CGI movie that came out beforehand, and requires you to play the main game in order to completely get the story. Or you could skip all that, hop on YouTube or any of the multiple web pages out there that covered the story in its entirety. But it's not just the story about Final Fantasy 15. What really matters in that is the characters and the relationship between the four main characters. Noctis plays the prince slash king and his three bodyguards. You have Gladio, Ignis, and Prompto. And they're like brothers. And brotherhood is this big theme inside the video game. And they communicate with each other. Yeah, it kind of gets repetitive eventually. But when you first start playing this game and you roll into a town and Ignis is like, hey, Noct, come here and check this out. And you go over there and he's wanting to show you something. It added a new layer of depth to the game series that had never been seen before. The graphics were beautiful. The wide open world was amazing. And the large amount of side quests was very engaging to me. There's some things that kind of get a little repetitive. Hunts, go kill a bad guy, bring back, you know, a trophy or proof that you killed him. You get money and items for it. That can get kind of repetitive. But I felt driven to complete as many side quests as I could. The climatic battle at the end is very cool. And I'll tell you this, Final Fantasy 15 has one of the best villains there is. He's really multi-dimensional. Arden is a very interesting character. He's one of the best bad guys in Final Fantasy. His purpose is unique. Here you got a guy that actually did something good for the world. He took on a lot of bad stuff in order for other people to live. And he was kind of shunned for it, kind of punished for it. And so he's on a vengeance streak against the bloodline that Noctis comes from. There's a lot of really cool twists and interactions with the Arden character, and he's one of the best parts of Final Fantasy 15. It's a game that I keep going back to every now and then to play some of the expansions and stuff that they've been putting out on DLC. Unfortunately, because they have all that, it's not a game you can really complete 100%, which is kind of irritating because I'm one of those old-fashioned Final Fantasy players who wants to complete everything 100%. But it's cool. It is what it is. It's a fun game. I don't think it gets as much love as it should, but it definitely gets more than I thought it would. And I'll tell you what, that first line when the game boots up, a Final Fantasy for fans and new players alike, that is exactly what this is. This game was everything it needed to be, especially after being in production hell for a decade, basically. Bravo to Final Fantasy 15 for reviving the series after the horrible Final Fantasy 13 games. So that leaves us with my number one, and some of you may have guessed what it is by looking at that character sitting behind me on that shelf. Yes, Sephiroth is there, and he is from none other than Final Fantasy VII. Like so many people, this is number one, not because it is the best game, and it's not the best story, they're not the best characters, but it was the best experience a lot of us had. Like I said, I got it right there, 97, 98, shortly after it came out, and was hooked. 3D world, it was different than the other Final Fantasies that I had played, different than Mystic Quest. The characters were engaging because they were 3D model. They weren't little two-dimensional sprites. The story was engaging because of full motion video that was added to the game. The battle system was great. The ability to augment your weapons and your armor using materia, being able to level up the magic, not just having to find the next level of magic. The summons. Oh my God, who remembers the first time they got Bahamut or Bahamut Neo with the space one, which I think is Bahamut Zero actually. And all of these really great full motion videos that you got to see, that all added to the experience. So even though when you look at it, there's definitely games out there with better stories. Final Fantasy VI, for example, comes to mind. Final Fantasy IV, for example, comes to mind. The level of engagement that us players got with Final Fantasy VII just sets it above so many more. You want to talk about replay value? I've probably played through that game 5 or 6 times. Each time going for 100%, making sure that I get Cloud picked to go with Don Cornello in the brothel and things like that. You know, really, really trying to make sure I get every little secret I can throughout the game. And it's one of those that I can't wait to see remade. I didn't believe it until I actually saw it, that trailer, Final Fantasy VII Remake, but it made me happy. I can't tell you how happy it made me because it's one of those games that I think they can improve on. And not by changing the story, but by updating the graphics, translating the script a little bit better, and making it just run a little bit smoother. And so I can't wait for Final Fantasy VII Remake to come out. I'm probably going to take a week off work when the first one drops. And I'm kind of upset. It looks like it's going to be episodic. But hey, that's the price we pay for having such a huge game that they're trying to make. And I'm really upset that it's taking forever. I don't really understand how they can release all these other games, not Square Enix themselves, but how other companies can release games, you know, year after year after year, but we can't get Final Fantasy VII within, you know, 5 years or less. Either way, I'm totally stoked about it. And it is, like I said, it's not the best story in the world. They're not even the best characters in the world, but it's probably the most engaging game for most of us. And that's why it sits at number one for me. Tell me what you think about my list. Tell me what your list is. Do you agree? Do you disagree? All that good stuff. And please make sure you subscribe, like this video, give us a big thumbs up, hit that bell so you can be alerted whenever we have new videos. Check out LRM Ranks It every Tuesday at lrmonline.com, as well as here on our YouTube page. I want to also plug our other video series, I'd Buy That for a Dollar from Stefan White, that comes out on Thursdays. And be sure to check me out at That Kyle Malone on Twitter, and every Thursday at The Cantina on lrmonline.com. A great Star Wars, I say great because it's mine, of course, but a great Star Wars column every Thursday. Thank you guys so much for joining me. Have a great day.